Praise God.
It's a blessing to be here this morning
and worship together with all of you. What a privilege is ours to be God's people and to be called with the holy calling and to be given the ministry of reconciliation. It's an honor and a privilege to be a Christian. I trust that this morning, each one of you, your hearts are burning with that honor and with that privilege, but also the responsibility that we as Christians carry upon our shoulders. Truly, it's not a small responsibility to be a Christian. I do desire to share from the Word of God this morning a bit on the subject of preparation. As I was seeking God and meditating about this subject, I thought, what no better title than a cry for preparation. As we look at God's work and all there is to do in the world that we live in, preparation is something that really does hinder that work from moving forward. So we'd like to look at a bit of that, how we can prepare, just some things the Lord's laid on my heart, and also in a way of a testimony. As Emmanuel shared, we had been in Ghana for the last 3 years, and I definitely can testify that we didn't over-prepare. So many times, we were totally dependent on God, and that's a good place to be. But preparation is something that is very necessary as we look at this subject of missions. I would like to open this morning from Matthew chapter 9. We'll read verse 36, 37, and 38. Matthew chapter 9. Familiar verses to all of us. Jesus speaking to those that were with him, I think specifically to the 12, because right after this, in chapter 10, he chose the 12 and commissioned them to go out and preach. But we'll read the last three verses of chapter 9, starting in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labors into his harvest. I trust that your heart can unite this morning with that prayer, praying that God would send forth labors into his harvest field. That's definitely my desire, that God would continue to raise up more laborers for the harvests of this world. The second verse we read there speaks of the harvest being plenteous and the labors being few. A tremendous, a very sad comparison we get this morning as we look at those scriptures of a plentiful harvest, plenty of grain in a field, plenty of harvest, all of the potential for a very big harvest there, but the labors being few. And this morning, what the Lord laid on my heart in these verses is, why are the labors few? And there could be many reasons for that, different reasons to answer that question, why there are few labors in the harvest fields of the world today. But I definitely think that one reason is because of lack of preparation and because of lack of people who are able to go into the harvest fields. And when I speak of harvest fields this morning, I'm not only going to be speaking of foreign harvest fields. There's so much work to be done the whole world over. Even here in Lancaster County, there's so much work to be done. But again, many times, even since I'm back just these last 6 weeks, my heart cries out, where are the laborers? Yes, there's plenty of people, but where are the laborers who are truly involved in harvesting the fields that are before us? God is desiring to raise up more laborers, and I do believe that preparation is a part of Him raising up those laborers. We know that His Holy Spirit, His anointing, all of those things are part of someone being a laborer in His harvest field. But this morning we're going to focus especially on preparation. There's not a need necessarily for people or for laborers. There are plenty of people, and I believe there's plenty of Christians in this world that we live in to get the job done. If you look at even some statistics of how many real Christians they say are existing in the world today, the task of evangelizing the world could be done in this generation. But there's a lack of laborers. Many people who claim to be Christians, and many real Christians, but a lack of laborers. That's what exists. I'm not sure exactly why we have a lack of laborers, but I think that some of it is because of ill preparation. Another big reason, I believe, is many, many people, we're so wrapped up in our own pursuits. We're so wrapped up in doing our own thing that we never get around to doing what God really called us here to do. And that burdens my heart this morning, and I trust it burdens your heart. Life has, in many ways, rocked us to sleep. The comforts of this life have put us to sleep, and many of us are not active the way Christ would desire to see us active. I know we have our little ministries that we do here and there, and God bless each one for what you do. But I believe God wants to lift our eyes up upon the harvest fields. And when we really get a vision of those harvest fields, we'll realize that our ministry here and there is just, it's not cutting it. It's not enough. There's more work to be done. When you look at this team of harvesters, I believe that there's plenty of them. The potential is there to have enough harvesters. But they're not in a state of readiness, or they're not prepared to go out and do the job. Jesus, is in the book of Luke 10, Jesus sent out the 70. Matthew 10, he sent out 12, and then later on, he sent out the 70. And when I look at those 70 men that Jesus sent out, something that comes upon my heart is their commitment to Jesus Christ. Not only their commitment, but also their sacrifice. What they gave up to be one of Jesus' disciples. And I believe that we as Christians today, if we are going to truly go out and reap the harvest of the world, we are going to also have to give up something, give up many things in order to do that. There's many reasons why we are not prepared to go out and do this job that God has given to us. Many of us are not willing to pay the price, but Christ is worthy of all of our lives in service to Him. We have been called out of darkness. Have you been called out of darkness this morning? Praise God. I also have been called out of darkness, and I thank God that I now see light because of Jesus Christ and because of His blood this morning. I can be free, and I have been called out of darkness. But why have we been called out of darkness? So often, I think it's amazing to me how many times we use verses in the Bible. And then if you look at the second part of it, or the next verse, you see God's heart for the nations coming out. And it says, we have been called out of darkness. Why? To show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. It's not for me. The light that Christ has shed upon me is not for me. It's for everybody else. It's for the nations. 2 Corinthians also speaks about being a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then it goes on to say in verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. We are now His ambassadors. I don't believe there should be any pride in our hearts this morning to say that we're an ambassador. This is a command. And it's a beautiful privilege that we as Christians have to be ambassadors. So this morning, like I mentioned earlier, when I speak of the harvest fields, I want to include us all in this because I don't believe it's just for a select few. We all are His ambassadors, or we are supposed to be. And Christ is calling us to that job and to that task. And I believe that there's some preparation that each one of us can do wherever we find ourselves that will help us to be proper representations of Christ and will help us to be better ambassadors wherever we find ourselves in the different fields of the world. As I thought of preparation this morning, my mind also went to some of the sports teams that are out there in the world. You know, so many teams. I think recently there was some big football games, something like that. I heard about them a bit, and I thought about that when those sports teams are looking for new players. And the recruiting process they go through, I don't know that much about it, but I know that when they're looking for someone to go out there and chase that ball around the way they do, they don't go and find someone who's new at it. They don't go find a greenhorn to come and sign on a contract for X amount of dollars, the way they pay those players so much, they don't go find a greenhorn. They go look for someone who knows the game. And I believe that as we are here before God this morning, we all are ambassadors. But I do believe that so often we don't know the game. We don't know what God is doing in our generation. Maybe we have a small glimpse of it, but we really are not, our hearts are not truly engaged in what God is doing. And I think that many times God is hindered and there's a lack of laborers in the harvest field today because people don't know what's going on in this, our generation. Our eyes are on other things and we're not in a state of preparedness. We're not in a state of being ready to go. Brother Emmanuel mentioned the Moravians, and I've been so challenged with them in the past to see the way that they were all ready to go. And that still challenges my heart, and I would like it to challenge your heart this morning. Could we, wouldn't it be God's will for us as a people to all be ready to go? You know, mission life, in many ways, it has gotten a bit easier in the last 100 years, easier airplane travel, so many things, technology, these things have helped us in doing God's work. It used to be at one point, missionaries would go out and 2-3 weeks, a month later, they would die of malaria. That doesn't happen very often anymore. And we thank God for that. At that point, when the Moravians were doing missions, you see someone would die and just like that, there would be another 5 people ready to take that position. I believe that would be God's heart for us as a people, that as the Lord lays different tribes, different countries, different places in the harvest field upon our hearts, would to God that we had people to go and send to those places of the world. But so often, I think what happens is, you know, maybe the mission board or pastors, church brothers look around and think, wow, what a beautiful opportunity. Who could we send? And so often, way too often, they draw up a blank. Who could go to this situation? Who could we send? That's not God's desire. God would desire that all of us would be ready to go. We all are soldiers in Christ's army. Amen? And He's desiring to train us. He's desiring to enroll us in His training school so that we can be able to reach out to the real world. Some of the thoughts that the Lord laid on my heart this morning, when you look at ways that we can prepare. I know there's good books to read. You know, it's very clear that we should be studying. As Christians, we should be studying and strategizing on the tactics that we use as we reach out to a real world. But it's clear, you know, even Paul encouraged Timothy to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And that verse rings true in my heart this morning. God does desire that we study, that we can be prepared, that we can be a ready vessel through which He can flow. A workman that's not going to be ashamed, not someone who, when the opportunity comes up, they're wringing their hands and they're ashamed and they don't have what it takes to go out and evangelize the world. No, rather a workman that is ready to go out and get the job done. That is what Christ would desire. But something that's on my heart this morning would also just be some of the practical day-to-day things that we can do that would prepare us to be ready to go out and harvest in the fields of the world. I often hear it said by parents, and God bless each one who've said it. It's also my desire as a parent to follow through with this. Many times I hear parents say the comment of, well, I'm raising missionaries. You know, God gave me 9 arrows, praise God, and I'm going to shoot them into the harvest fields. And that's an exciting thing. That's a beautiful vision. God bless you for that vision. But my mind this morning went, are we truly preparing our children to go out into the harvest fields? Are we preparing ourselves to go out into the harvest fields? Or is that just some good theology that we have and some good idea that we have? Are we truly raising missionaries as we're training our children? Is the burden on my heart this morning. It's a good thing to say it, but it's another thing to do it. You know, we don't all of a sudden just wake up one day and find ourselves ready and prepared to go to battle, go and evangelize the world. A soldier, he doesn't just wake up one morning and say, wow, I have everything it takes now. Let's go to the battle. I know all the strategies. I know how to shoot. I have good aim. I have everything it takes. That doesn't happen to a soldier, and neither will it happen to us as Christians. We need to be actively involved in preparation and in training and in allowing God's word to teach us how to go out and evangelize the world. It won't just happen automatically. I would like to encourage this morning that we embark on a never-ending training course. That's what God would have for us. I don't think we ever are fully trained in these things of doing God's work and reaching the world. I know at one point I would have had a kind of a concept of, okay, I'm at home still when I was still staying with my family before I was married. And I thought, well, okay, I'm doing training, you know, and I read different books and I would study the Bible and study missions and those kind of things. And I sort of had this wrong concept, like, okay, I'm going to get married and now I'm going to start the life's work that God has called me to. And but as soon as we got to Ghana, I realized, I'm not trained. God is still working on me. And I think that that's the beautiful thing of the privilege that we have as Christians. It's not like we get a certificate at the end of a certain course. There's always more courses that we can engage our hearts in as we desire to reach out to the different peoples of the world. Now, I want to encourage you, one of the ways that we can prepare ourselves now while we are here, let's say living in this land of plenty, living in the U.S., one way that we can prepare ourselves is to begin now to put our body under. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, you can turn there, 2 Timothy 2 verses 3 to 5 we'll read. Paul speaking to Timothy about him being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2 verses 3 to 5 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Endure hardness. You know, the mission field is a hard field. It's not all easy. Are you practicing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? It amazes me, once again, being gone for roughly 3 years, coming back, how easy this American life is. How easy it is to become comfortable in this American life. But these verses from the heart of the Apostle Paul tell us, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, when you're out there on a front line battlefield, maybe in a third world country, there's a lot of hardness. You don't have to look for hard situations. You don't have to look for the cross in your life. You just see it everywhere. You know, lack of modern conveniences, rough roads, so many things. You don't have to look for hardness. But I would like to challenge us this morning that as Christians living in America, we have to look for hardness. We have to look for ways that we can prepare ourselves to be Christ's ambassador to the world. We have to look for ways that we can toughen ourselves up, because otherwise it's not going to happen. I continually amazed as I was in Ghana when different of the teams would come over, nothing against any of them, but I was continually amazed at, I'll say, their lack of preparation. Situations would come up, something that I thought, this is just normal. You know, we're going to have a meal of rice for the third time in a row. And those things were challenging for them because they weren't used to those things. And I'm not condemning them for not being used to it. But my challenge to us this morning is, let's prepare. You know, so many times we can say, I'm raising missionaries, or, amen, God has my, you know, God gave me a vision, and I'm going to be going to this certain country. That's where I'm going. Well, amen. Let's prepare. Let's use this America with all of its conveniences to prepare. Let's choose the hard things in life that we can become a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The second verse we read, verse 4, says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And I get a picture of something tangling around somebody, almost like an octopus, maybe you could say. You know, the affairs of this life desire to entangle us. They desire to hinder us from doing what Christ has called us to do. Money, business, houses, lands, all of these things can entangle us. That's not God's desire. I believe we can use these things that God has given to us, whether houses, whether vehicles. We can use those things as tools for God's kingdom. But God did not desire that those things should entangle us. Rather, He wants us to be free so that we can be a soldier, a chosen soldier of Jesus Christ. I was the word stuck out to me, chosen, that he may please him who hath chosen him. We have been chosen to be a soldier. We have been chosen to be Christ's ambassadors to the rest of the world. So that's something that includes all of us here this morning. Maybe you can say, well, you know, no mission board ever came to me and said, would you go to Saudi Arabia or would you go to Czechoslovakia? No mission board ever came to me. That's fine. We all have been chosen to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He has chosen us. And I'm encouraging you this morning, let's enlist in his training course. Let's work on things now in our life that can prepare us for future ministry. Whether it's third world ministry, whether it's ministry in America, there is training that is necessary. There is courses that Christ wants us to take. Verse 5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And I get the picture of a man desiring to run a race, desiring to do some kind of sporting activity. And he's striving. He's running after that thing. He is desiring to have that trophy. That's what he's looking for. But in this verse, he didn't have the trophy yet. He's still striving. And I think many times as we're in preparation, sometimes we can become discouraged of where we are. But remember, we're striving that Christ would make us a proper ambassador to the rest of the world. I was talking with some of the CBI young men, and I think it was the second week of CBI, they had some time where on evangelism, and then they had some practicals where they were supposed to go out and confront different people and different situations and share the gospel with them. And a few of them were sharing their stories with me, and they said, wow, I mean, I've made all the wrong mistakes. I said the wrong thing. I didn't do what we had been told to do. It didn't come out the way I wanted it to, but I was able to share Christ with this person or with that person. And I blessed those young men I was talking to. No problem, it didn't come out the right way. You're at least talking. You at least opened up your mouth. And they're on the right course. They're beginning down, a road of learning how to share the gospel in America. In the day-to-day world that we live in. God wants us to open our mouths for Christ. So what if you don't do it the right first time? You are striving. You are striving that you can be a proper representation of Christ. The harvest fields are there. But the laborers are few. All those young men that came to CBI, they all existed before CBI. But I trust that now that they've had some training and some experience, they will do better in the harvest fields of Christ. And I trust that they'll continue to learn. And a year from now, they'll be better representations of Christ in this world. Why should I sacrifice myself for God's kingdom? You know, the word there that spoke of not getting ourselves entangled in the things of this life. Something that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I've had a privilege to walk and to live out, is, I'll say, a simple lifestyle here in the States. The first year that me and my wife were married before we went to Ghana, the Lord laid that on our heart to live in light of God's kingdom and to make simple decisions so that we can better reach the world and so that we can better stay engaged in what God is doing in the rest of the world. And that was a privilege and it was an honor. And I'm sure many of you too, the Lord has laid that on your heart. And I want to encourage you this morning with some thoughts on those things of a more simple lifestyle and the beauty of sacrificing maybe what we think is rightfully ours. So many times we get this idea that I deserve this. I deserve the best. I deserve whatever it might be. Meanwhile, maybe you need to give it up. Maybe you need to surrender it. Just because it's good. Just because it will help you and it will prepare you for the future. So many of the young people who realize in a third world setting that they're not prepared. So much of the reason is because they've lived in the lap of luxury. They've lived in a land that is everything is just handed to them on a gold plate. And they're just used to enjoying whatever not what the world has to offer, but the stores and everything that you can buy and just the comforts of this life. That's what they're used to. And so when they go over to a third world country, it's uncomfortable. It's hard on them. But what I'd like to encourage us this morning is why not prepare now? God has given us this time. When I look over a crowd of this size and I think of the potential that is here for God's kingdom, it is so exciting. On the other hand, if we're not prepared, we're not going to be able to be useful in God's kingdom. I know that God can work a miracle and fill us with His Spirit. All of those things are part of God's flowing through us and God helping us to be ambassadors to the world. But many times we don't hear His voice. As was shared last night, you know, Isaiah was close to God and he heard that voice. Can you hear God's voice? Can you hear God's heartbeat for the rest of the world? When you see someone at the store, do you hear God's heartbeat for that person? Or are you so busy? Maybe you're not engaged enough to even hear that heart. God wants us to be able to hear His heart. God wants us to be able to answer, "Here I am." Sometimes I think we sing those songs, "Here I am, God," and that's beautiful. But here for what? Do you hear God's heart? Do you hear God's heart telling you what you're here for? It's a privilege to be a Christian. It's a privilege to be Christ's ambassadors. 1 Corinthians also talks about keeping our body under. It's also in reference to someone running a race. You don't necessarily need to turn there. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27 says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached Christ to others, I myself should be a castaway." We see Paul giving a testimony of his life and the way he lived. And these verses challenge me in so many ways, because if there's anybody I look up to, it would be the Apostle Paul. But even he said that he has to keep his body under. He has to bring his body into subjection. And I think that we can apply these verses in very practical ways to each one of our lives. We need to keep our bodies and bring our bodies into subjection. You know, the world has so much to offer us. It's amazing how many new trinkets and how many new gadgets there are out there. Not that we can't use those for God's kingdom, but we all don't need all of them. And I believe that God would call us and God is desiring us to get a heart for His kingdom and get a heart for the nations to such a level that it simplifies our life. We start cutting the excess off of our life. We start cutting the excess out of our life so that we can be a soldier, so that we can be a vessel through which He can flow. That is His heart's desire for each one of us. I believe that in this room, each one of us has the potential to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You know, it's not that there's just a select few or an elite force that God is necessarily calling out. When you honestly look at those maybe who God has used in the past in mission history to chart a course or maybe start a new mission, you think of Hudson Taylor and those kind of people, they were nothing special. When you read through Hudson Taylor's biography, you see that many times within his first few years on the mission field, he was on his knees crying out to God. He didn't feel prepared. He didn't think he had what it took. And I know that none of us have what it takes. It's only through Jesus Christ. But I do believe that the preparation that we do now is going to help us. Hudson Taylor was one who did prepare. Many others, when you read their autobiographies, you see that they prepared. And I do believe that that is why God was able to send them out. Not because they were just a bench warmer, but because they prepared themselves. They knew what God was doing in their generation, and they prepared themselves in practical ways. They were willing to give up what they thought they deserved. They were willing to give up their own wishes and wants and desires. They were willing to do with less. They were willing to eat simple food. They were willing to have inferior gadgets. They were willing to serve Christ more than anything else. And I want to encourage each one of us to also do that. Christ is calling us to lay aside all of these weights that can hinder us from running the race and to pick up His burden and run for the souls that are dying without Jesus Christ today. I know that many times people feel inadequate to the task of evangelizing the world. And I think that's a normal feeling. I believe that that should be a normal feeling because we are dependent upon Christ. But the attitude that I would like to drill home to us this morning would be the attitude of maybe you could say a soldier who goes in when there's a draft or goes in and tries to sign up for service in the army. You know, his attitude is a willing attitude. His attitude is, I want to be strong enough. I want to be fit enough. I want to be tall enough, whatever it might be. That's the attitude of a soldier who goes and volunteers in the army. And that should be our attitude. Christ, I want to be yours. Prepare me. Help me in every way that I can be what you want me to be. Help me be. And I think that our preparation should flow out of that type of an attitude of, okay, God, you know, I don't talk. I'm a stutterer. God, you know, I'm insecure. God, you know, I've never once given a tract to someone. Wherever you might find yourself this morning, that's fine if you're in that situation. But let's change it. Let's have the attitude of, God, I want to be a learner. You know, as we go throughout this week and you hear many sermons and you hear much teaching, maybe I trust God is going to stir your heart in a greater way for the souls that live around us and for the nations. Let that go deep and say, God, I don't have what it takes. Help me to learn. Help me to prepare. Teach me, God. I want to be used. God, I want to be a usable vessel through which you can flow. I think you can hear the heart, my heart in that this morning, that would be our attitude. Yes, none of us. We all, our sufficiency is in Christ. None of us have what it takes. But God is desiring each one of us to have that attitude. God, prepare me. God, teach me. I know I'm a little weak in this area. I know I don't have what it takes. God, teach me. Help me. Show me your way so that I can be used, so you can flow through me. That should be our heart's desire. Are we pressing into this training course that God has us on? As ambassadors, I don't believe we learn everything the first day we come to Christ. God is desiring to teach us more. Something that comes to my mind as we are on this training course is the word discipline. And I want to encourage each one of us to a greater discipline in our Christian lives. God is desiring to discipline us so that we can be soldiers for Him. Many times, I believe, again, we're so focused on these earthly things that we don't have what it takes to go and win the world around us. And I believe that as we discipline ourselves in our eating habits, that's one way we can do it. In our spending habits, discipline ourselves. Find contentment in the little things. Find contentment in the simple things. That is what Christ is desiring to bring us to. Again, I'll just share this from testimony, not in any way to boast of what God showed us or allowed us to do. But I must say that the first year that we were still living in the States here as a couple, you know, some people looked at us and said, wow, you're living a sacrificial life for missions. God bless you. And we heard those kind of comments. And it was our desire to live a simple life and live a life of, you could say, sacrifice. But I must confess that when we went to Ghana and we looked back at what God allowed us to do here, we felt like we were extravagant. We felt like we were in the lap of luxury. That's honestly how we look at it now. Because when we went there, it was more difficult. And God is desiring to raise up an army that He can use. An army that is able to push through difficult situations. You know, so many times, again, God bless these teams. I'm not going to try to wear them out, but many times when some of them would come over, you'd hear their heart for missions. You'd hear their heart for God's work. But it was the peppery rice in front of them that just was more than they could handle. And I think that so many times, as when we think of preparing ourselves, so often this life in America has just, it's easy. And so we're not tough. We don't have a mentality of a soldier. We're not very good soldiers when it comes to a lot of these things. And we have a heart and we have all the right theology, but when it comes down to it, it's too difficult. It's too hard. And I don't believe that would be Christ's desire. The harvest fields are there. Christ is desiring to send a greater number of us into those harvest fields. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we training ourselves to be able to handle that which is tough? To be able to handle that which we don't like? To be able to handle that which pricks our flesh and we just don't like it? Are we preparing ourselves? Christ would want us to be. What are we desiring? There's many things that we can seek after in this world that we live in. You know, we live in a land that is seeking after the God of material pursuit. I believe that more than ever, America is seeking a God of material pursuit. What are we seeking after? I know our theology says, oh no, we're not seeking after material pursuit. But so many times in the reality of our lives, that's often how it can seem. The world is dying, but yet we're more focused on getting ahead in life and making our business bigger and going somewhere and making a name for ourselves in business. I don't believe that's God's desire. God's desire would be that we could seek His kingdom first and trust Him and trust Him with every area of our life. Simplify our lives so that we can give more money even to God's work. This morning I'm not sharing any of this in a way of desiring more funds. I'm not sharing it in that way. I believe, you know, God does own the cattle on a thousand hills, and He's able to, His work is going to go forward. But the question to each of you this morning is, don't you want to be part of it? Are you going to be a part of it? I want to be a part of it. That's my heart's desire, that I could have. I know God has a part for me to play. I know God has a part for each one of you to play. And I want to encourage us to be preparing ourselves for the part that Christ has for us to play. Don't allow this American life to lull us to sleep. The ease that is here, the comforts that are here. Don't allow those things to become the focus of our life, but rather let Jesus Christ and the lost world be the focus of our life. Let's learn contentment. Paul said that he couldn't speak in respect of one because he had learned in whatsoever state he was, therewith to be content. And my challenge to us this morning is, have we learned to be content? Are we learning to be content? People talk about in these last, you know, since last year, as the economy is a bit down, people talk about the tightness and all those things that people are sensing because of where the economy is. Are we learning? Are we allowing maybe a little bit of tightness in our finances to teach us contentment? Are we learning to do with less? Are we learning to find contentment even if we're not exactly where we once were? God would desire to teach us contentment. And I would encourage us to choose to find contentment. The world is always there. The advertisement industry is only getting stronger and bolder all the time. You know, at one point, they were advertisement was there to let you know of a good product. You know, a billboard, you'd read it, and it was just basically stating the facts. This is what's available, call this number. But more and more, that's not all they're trying to do. They're trying to convince you that you need it. They're letting you know that what you have now is never going to cut it, and you got to have the newest. You got to have the latest. I think so often in our purchases and in the things we buy, that the advertisement world does affect us, and we feel like, yeah, I do need it. Another thing that often plays into not living a simple life, not living a sacrificial life, would just be peer pressure. You know, my friend just got this, and wow, that's really nice. Now I need it too. I think especially of some of you young people in that, as you desire to seek God's kingdom first, and as you desire to prepare yourself, let's simplify. You don't need the latest. You don't need the newest. You can save a lot of money, and money that can be invested in God's kingdom, if you just pull yourself back a few notches and don't run with the Joneses. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. I know that all this technology that is here in this world, God has given it to us. And I'm not saying we can't use it, but it should be a tool for God's kingdom. It shouldn't be something to boost my ego or something to build me up. It should be used for God's kingdom. David Livingston, I've been so challenged with him. He said, I place no value on anything I possess except in relation to the kingdom of God. And I love that quote by him. That is my heart's desire, that the things I possess, they have no value to me. They are only tools that God has given me to reach a lost and dying world. And I want to encourage each one of us. That should be our perspective on the things that we have. And I think that will, if that's our perspective, we're not going to be running after the latest. We'll just be content and happy with what works for us and what those things that, we have them for their usefulness, not for their status. I think many times people in America today, we have the mentality of if we can afford something, then we deserve it. And I believe as Christians who are desiring to seek God's kingdom first, that cannot be our mentality. So much of the world, that's what their mentality is. I can afford it, I deserve it then. That means I have the right to own this certain item. Many people now, if they can get credit, they think, well, that means they deserve to own this certain item also. But Christ is desiring us to seek His kingdom first. And in the nitty-gritty decisions of life, He wants us to seek Him as to what He would have us to buy. I want to encourage us in those things. We should be a simple people. We should be a people that people notice. We're different. Not just by our clothes, but because our life is simple. Our life is basic. Our life is contentment. When people see us, they see that we are content. That is what Christ is desiring to do for in each of our lives. I want to encourage us to lose ourselves in one consuming passion for God's heart for the nations. And in preparing ourselves, that our heart would beat with His heart. As I mentioned earlier, so often I think our ears are stopped and we can't hear the heartbeat of Christ because we're seeking our business and we're seeking other material things more than we're seeking Jesus Christ first. And I want to encourage you to practically, in the day-to-day life, prepare yourself, prepare your children that they can go out and do this job of evangelizing the world. Again, many parents here this morning, God bless each one of you as you raise your children. But let's not just say that we're raising missionaries. Let's truly raise them in light of eternity. Let's look at the way the rest of the world is living and do some comparisons. Obviously, God has us living here in America, and I believe that we can use that for His kingdom. But let's not just sit in the lap of luxury and enjoy it. Let's be willing to sacrifice. Let's make conscious choices to sacrifice for God's kingdom. Children who grow up in that kind of a home, they're going to remember those things. They are going to be much more easily. God will be able to direct children like that who grew up sacrificing. God will be able to direct them. Many times I've heard different people talk about, what was it growing up that helped you when you went over to Ghana and those kind of things. I do believe sacrificing is going to help children prepare for the future that God has for each one of them. And sacrificing is going to help you, whether you're a parent, whether you're a young person here today. You will never regret it. It's going to prepare you to fulfill God's plan for each of your lives. As I look at a crowd like this, of this size, and I think of what was mentioned last night about 10% of the people went to a foreign mission field. I think that would be a beautiful thing if God could do that in a group like this. If we could just single out 10% of a group this size and they could go, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? But I tell you, it's going to take more sacrifice on those that would stay home in order to have that kind of a ratio of people on the field and people at home. But I believe it is possible. I don't believe we've drained our pockets totally empty. I don't believe that we have given to the point where, we have nothing left to give. I don't say this in condemnation this morning at all. It's with a heart of love and a desire that God would have more of us in such a state of readiness that He can flow through us. I know that God is desiring to raise the level of our commitment. To me, as I was growing up, the opportunity to give in a financial way, it was a privilege. But that wasn't the focus. To me, it was a necessity in my life to help me keep my focus on what Christ was doing in my generation. It was a necessity. It didn't always come easy. It didn't always come natural. But I believe that as our hearts beat for Christ and beat for the nations, a simple life will flow out of that. A uncumbered life will flow out of that. And while we're living that life, we'll be preparing. All those things are going to be tremendously good preparation for us. As I mentioned earlier, the sports team, I just want to lift that before us once again. When they go and look for someone, they don't look for the people who are just having interest in the game. And that would be on my challenge to you this morning. I know all of you are, because you're here, it shows that you have an interest in missions. It shows that, yes, you probably even have a heart for missions. But God sends those who are actively preparing themselves. God sends those who are continually preparing themselves. And the sports people, they also pick someone who has already prepared himself. They don't just look for the person who has an interest in it. They don't just look for the person who can cheer the loudest at the game. They look for someone who's already prepared. And I believe that as God's heart scans over an audience like this morning, His heart, as He sees God's heart beats for the nations. And then he looks at a crowd like this, and he's looking for laborers. He doesn't just look for those who have a heart for missions. He looks for those who are preparing, those who are doing things on a daily basis, preparing themselves so that they can be fit vessels through which he can flow. I want to encourage us. Live with less. Learn contentment. Study the way other people in other countries live. Start cutting the overindulgence in our life. So it's so easy in this land of plenty to overindulge ourselves in all the things that there is, that this world is offering to us. Let's learn to be content with less. Eat more basic foods. The rest of the world does. All these are just a few ideas and things that I believe Christ is desiring us to do as his people. He wants us to seek his kingdom first. He's desiring to lift our eyes on the harvest fields, and he's desiring that more of us, all of us, would be prepared that we can go out and do battle against Satan. The harvest fields are ripe and ready for harvest, but where are the laborers? Why are the laborers so few? I believe they're not prepared. I believe they're seeking other things. May God change that in each of our lives. May he put us on a course. And as we live this Christian life, may he begin to prepare us. May he begin to set us on a course of preparation. You know, you don't arrive tomorrow. You don't arrive next week. But may he put us on a course that will change eternity. May he help us that we would live in light of eternity. That was something that God impressed upon my heart years ago. And I know that I don't even know the things that have been different in my life because of that principle in my life. I was challenged to look and make every decision in light of God's kingdom. To look through God's eternal glasses when I make financial decisions. To look through God's eternal glasses when I adjust my priorities and when I decide what I'm going to do with my free time. Let's look through God's eternal glasses. I know it's going to make a difference in our day-to-day life if we can see everything in light of the kingdom of God, in light of eternity. I want to encourage us and challenge us in closing with something that spurred C.T. Studd on to his dedication to Christ and to the mission work that he did. This was written by an atheist, and I wanted to challenge each of our hearts in light of our priorities and in light of seeking God's kingdom first. It says, "If I firmly believed, as millions say they do, that the knowledge and practice of religion in the life influences destiny in another, then religion would mean to me everything. I would cast away earthly enjoyment as dross, earthly cares as follies, and earthly thoughts and feelings as vanity. Religion would be my first waking thought and my last image before sleep sank into my unconsciousness. I should labor in its cause alone. I would take no thought for the morrow of eternity alone. I would esteem one soul gained for heaven worth a life of suffering. Earthly consequences would never stay my hand or seal my lips. Earth, its joys, and its griefs would occupy no moments of my thoughts. I would strive to look upon eternity alone and on the immortal souls around me, soon to be everlastingly happy or everlastingly miserable. I would go forth to the world and preach to it in season and out of season. And my text would be, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Written by an atheist. I trust that can challenge us this morning. You know, I know the world has a lot to offer us. I know that it's so easy to get wrapped up in this world. And I hope you can hear God's heart this morning in all of this that I've said. It is his desire that we would seek his kingdom first. What's it going to profit us, what we gain in this world, if we lose our soul? And I'd like to add on to that, the souls of those people who Christ died for. What are we going to give in exchange for the souls that don't know Christ? May God help us to set our affections on things above. May God help us to live our lives in such a way, in such a state of always preparing ourselves, because we are His ambassadors, and all of us represent the King. I want to be a proper representation of Jesus Christ to this lost world. Let's pray. Dear God, we do bow before You this morning, Father. God, thank You for Your word to our heart. Father, thank You, God, for the privilege that each one of us have, Lord, to be ambassadors to this lost and dying world. God, we confess, Father, we don't have what it takes, God. We confess that we are so frail, God. We're just human. Father, would You prepare us? God, would You put us on a course of preparation, Father? Help us to see the things that are around us each and every day that we can do. Help us to see the priorities in our life that You want us to change. God, help us to see the wastes in our life and our spending habits, Father, that we can be in a state of readiness, in a place of preparedness. Father, that if an opportunity would come up next week, Lord, we could say, yes, God, here I am. Send me, Father. Would You prepare each one of us, God, and send us forth into the harvest fields, whether they're here close or whether they're across the ocean, Father. God, I pray, speak to each of our hearts this morning, Lord. Burden us. Give us a vision, Lord. Take away the blinders that are so often upon our eyes. Lord, the materialistic land with where we live, God, so often blinds us. Lord, take the blinders off our eyes and help us to see everything in light of eternity. Help us to seek Your kingdom first. Prepare us, God, and send us into Your harvest field is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. May God bless.
Thank you, Samuel. I hope that you were listening as we as a mission board or elders of a church, as we look around and we look for families or couples or young people to send in a mission field, oftentimes we have a spot that needs to be filled. And when we look for people, some of the things that we look at is things like, what is your attitude about sacrifice? Are you living a sacrificial life? What kind of a car does the young man drive? How much money do you have stored in the bank? This might, and I know that some fathers, when a young man asks for their daughter, they might tell them, well, you have to have at least $5,000 in the bank before you can have my daughter. Well, if you want to go to the mission field and you sign up and we ask you that question, you tell me you have $20,000 in the bank, I'm going to wonder what you're doing. Because I really do believe that we need to put our money where our heart is. And how can you tell me that your heart is in missions when you have when you're storing up on the earth? I don't understand that. So, I hope you heard what Samuel was saying. We're serious about those things, and that's what we're looking for. One of the things that we look for in Samuel and Kate's life before we sent them was we wanted to see how they were living. Newly married, you know, their dream has come together, they got married and wonderful marriage, and they live in their own little house and nice and all those type of things, but we want to know, what are they living like? And are they suitable candidates for this kind of mission field? Are they prepared for the life that they have to live out over there? And we could go to their house and you could visit them there, and we could see they are living sacrificial. They don't have a lot of nice furniture. They don't have a lot of things, period. Why not? They are preparing. They're preparing. And we knew they were preparing. And someone like that is very... that's the kind of people we're looking for. And so if you're serious about being sent, these are some things that you really need to consider very seriously. That's what we're looking for. Again, thank you, Samuel. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.